Blog Talk Radio.
That time.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two Total Dudes review one Total Diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the Jean-Claude Van Damme to my Bolo Jung. So something, something, blood sport, something. And welcome to the show, the genius, known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
Not too bad on this Yom Kippur.
Oh, is it Yom Kippur?
Yes, yes it is.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it means we shouldn't be working.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to work on Yom Kippur. Goldberg had this difficulty in WCW.
Now, why are you not supposed to work on Yom Kippur? Are you aware of this answer?
Well, it goes back to the Jewish traditions of celebrating Yom Kippur, which has to do sort of with the Jewish New Year, and you're just not supposed to work during Yom Kippur. You're supposed to be at home celebrating with the family, so they made it a kind of, I don't know if rule is the correct word, but the tradition is not supposed
to work, or a cultural norm, if you will.
Yes, yes. But not supposed to work on Yom Kippur. And Goldberg had this problem. He didn't want to work Nitro on Yom Kippur.
I almost made a racist joke then, but I am not Brie Bella, so I didn't say it. Boom. You're welcome, the world. No racism here. How's your Yom Kippur been, Sign Guy?
Not too bad so far. And what a great game today between the Wild and the Winnipeg Jets. Sudden death, one goal in the final minute. Matt,
let's play a game. No, we're not going to talk about the actual game. Let's play a game. What do you think the ratings will be for that game? Will they eclipse, 300,000 viewers?
Are we talking the TSN broadcast or the NHL Network broadcast, or a combined viewership of the two?
Oh, combined.
Then yes. by far.
You think this preseason hockey game, of which are two teams I've never even heard of, will eclipse 300,000 viewers?
It was on TSN, so I'm guessing yes. Yes, it will.
Now, of these 300,000 viewers, how many of them will be non-white persons?
I'll say 5%.
That's a pretty... So you're going to say that would be, what, 6,000 is what you think?
Yeah, we'll say roughly, yeah.
That's quite generous, I feel. I feel that literally not one of these people will be beardless slash white with a nice toque on their head. Just they will all look exactly like you, Sign Guy.
Yeah, that's a little racist there. You'd rebel it out on that one.
It's not racist. You can't be racist against white people. This is a
yeah,
fact.
You can.
It's the rules. Nope. If you look up the definition of racism, racism involves power, something of which people of minority groups do not have. The only people you can be racist against are those of which are in the minority groups by virtue of the rules of power.
Yeah, I'm not buying that at all. But yeah, I'd say about 5% because, you know, other ethnic groups and races enjoy hockey as well. It's just a stereotype that they don't.
No, I'm not going to let you do that. It's not a stereotype if it's true.
Which it is not. There's even been African-American players in the NHL.
How many?
Not very many, but there's been a few.
I'm going to Google this if I can get my internet to work. It hasn't been working very well this evening. African-American NHL players. Internet's not working, so never mind. I won't Google it. So what else is going on, Tiny Guy? What's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler?
Well, the scuttlebutt is the 200th episode of The Sign of the Times is quickly approaching. Quickly approaching.
Mm-hmm. Do you have big plans for it?
Well, there's rumors and innuendos it might be filmed at an undisclosed Piper Palooza show.
Oh, excellent. Which undisclosed one will it be, do you know?
Well, I can't disclose that or it would disclose the undisclosed location, which has only been done once, and that was with Coach Mike Jones as the guest. Totally disclose the undisclosed outdoor locker room.
This is something to... I don't know. I've been drinking fall punch all night. I don't know words anymore. So what else is going on? What do you think about the Indiana Hoosiers football team? Let's discuss them.
Do they have one?
They have an excellent one. Their running back is the leading running back in the nation in college football at the moment.
Where did he go?
He went to the top of the charts, brother.
And
their
now he's
quarterback,
running back the other way.
Yes. And their excellent quarterback, senior Nate Sudfeld, 6'6". He's a big fella. He's in the top 15 in the nation currently. They have an amazing, amazing offense. Oh, it's unbelievable. Their defense, but it doesn't matter. They're fun
to
watch.
They have one of the top quarterbacks. Where do they stand on Nickelback?
They're not fans. No one's a fan of Nickelback, especially the song Photograph. No one likes the song Photograph.
Someone
has
to like it.
And I'll tell you who does. One of the children in my special needs class, his favorite song is Photograph by Nickelback. And I think that says all you need to know about Nickelback.
Well, then why would you say that no one likes it if you knew that someone does?
Well, because that's just what I do. I'm all about extremes, Sign Guy. Extreme highs and extreme lows, brother. There's no in between for me.
But that was like an extreme lie.
That's how you want to take it, brother.
Wow. I bet tomorrow he's going to come up to you and he'll say, why did you lie about my favorite song? You know I love that song. And you'll say, shut up, geek. Get out of here. And then
first
he'll just
off,
burst into tears and go running out.
I will express to you that this child speaks in an extremely slow, he just speaks in an extremely slow manner, so he will not say any of that in that tempo. It's hard to get him to say any words. When I ask him about Nickelback, he'll say his favorite song is Photograph. That's the tempo that he speaks with. So, you're wrong right off the bat. And secondly, I mean, who cares?
Well, I'm sure he does.
What's your favorite Nickelback song, fine guy?
Let's see. I like their theme for Monday Night Raw.
How's it go?
It goes very well, but they no longer use it because after they switched networks again, went back to USA, they brought in a new theme. They no longer needed Nickelback.
Sing it. Let's
hear it,
though.
They've been to the bottom of every bottle since then.
It's a roll on the ground. Who's that one? Is that the Nickelback one?
No, that was like Thorn in Your Eye. Jim Johnson wrote that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It definitely didn't seem like a real song. But I guess it was
a real song, but it was a Jim Johnson created theme.
Hey, no, it doesn't matter. What else? Nickelback, they're from your neck of the woods, aren't they? Aren't they from up that way?
They're from British Columbia.
Where's that?
That's in Western Canada.
Yeah, I thought it was up your way. It's up your way somewhere, right?
It borders the state of Washington.
So, yeah, it's right there by you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I was right. I thought they were. How many times have you seen Nickelback?
They're 180 miles from me.
Oh, that's like nothing.
Yeah, it's not a bad trip.
Not at all, not at all. So, how many times have you seen them live?
I have not seen them perform live.
Is there a reason? Is it because you hate Nickelback?
No, I just never have seen them live. Although I did see Limp Bizkit at WrestleMania 19 perform live.
I remember that. I remember that very well. That was an important moment in the life of music. Nickelback is pretty great, but how do you feel about that song that Nickelback did with the guy from Saliva, that song from the Spider-Man movies?
It was all right. See, Nickelback, I like Nickelback. I don't know why everyone jumps on the anti-Nickelback bandwagon. Did you know that they got their name based upon the lead singer's job at Starbucks?
I did not know that. Why is it? Because he gave a nickel back to a customer who was supposed to get $10 at one point, and it was a great source of comedy for them?
No, it was because there is no sales tax in British Columbia, so when people would buy a cup of coffee that was $4.95, they would give him a $5, and so constantly he was saying all day, here's your nickel back, here's your nickel back, here's your nickel back. And so when it came time to name the band, he's like, let's just name it Nickelback as a goof on my job. And they all laughed and they said, okay, we could change it later if we don't like it.
But they liked it.
They did.
Do you like it?
I think it's an interesting choice for a name to base it something on his everyday life like that.
Huh. Interesting.
I thought so. It's better than like last night on the Muppets, where they kept changing the band's name segment to segment.
Ugh. Listen, I didn't watch that bullshit. I'll tell you why. This Miss Piggy Kermit storyline where they're split up is infuriating to me, and I refuse to watch it. There were commercials of Kermit just running around, just Dolph Ziggler-ing up some other pig, and I have no time for that. And Miss Piggy was running around just getting all Brie-mode with some clown actor. And I'm like, what is this garbage? Kermit and Miss Piggy are supposed to love each other. Kermit's already one of the worst characters of all time. Like, he's horrendous to Miss Piggy. He's a garbage can human, or I guess he's not human. He's a garbage can frog. But Miss Piggy loved him, and that's all that matters. You love people sometimes that aren't right, but it doesn't matter as long as you love them and they love you. And Kermit was a complete jerk to this pig. Just a horrible human. And he didn't
hey,
have
wait,
time
wait,
for
wait.
Anything.
He wasn't
hey.
A human, he was a frog.
He was garbage, this frog, to this pig. Just he didn't have time for her. He didn't, you know, he was always pushing her away. And so then when they finally split up, what does he do? Jump on the first goddamn pig he can find? Are you kidding me?
Well, he explained this last night in the episode.
Well, I'm not going to watch it because fuck Kermit. He's an asshole.
Well, it was kind of Piggy's fault.
No. No. Do not bring this pigsogyny into my show. I will not stand for this pigsogyny. Kermit is a pigsogynist. But how did he explain it? What was his explanation for banging this other pig on the side when he could have been with the greatest pig ever, Miss Piggy?
It wasn't on the side. It was well after their breakup. And he explained it by saying, I'm attracted to pigs.
Yeah, except for Miss Piggy.
That's not true. Now, they split up.
No, oh, you're right.
Because all
oh.
she was doing the entire time they were supposed to be on their date was taking selfies with people. She'd just run in and take selfies with just random people.
Yeah,
and
anytime
he tried
too.
To talk to her, she would just ignore him.
That's not Miss Piggy either. She only cares about herself. She wouldn't want to take pictures with a bunch of other geeks with her, so that's stupid, too. And these two fucking things, they're fucking married, all right? This happened at the end of the Muppet Sick Manhattan. Those two motherfuckers got married. Jim Henson confirmed they got married. He brought in a legitimate priest when he did this marriage of Miss Piggy and Kermit. And then after that, Kermit was always like, Ramsey, I don't think they were the real marriage. We're actors. And Miss Piggy's like, no, motherfucker, we got married. And Jim Henson's like, no, motherfucking frog, you got married. And this asshole still runs around cheating on his damn wife with other pigs. Fuck Kermit.
Wow.
Look, I'm an enormous Muppets fan. I love the Muppets. But this shit, this Kermit bullshit, just ditching his wife like he doesn't even know her to get with some other piece of shit pig? No. I don't play this game, sign guy. I refuse to watch it, and I did not watch it. I was stoked to watch it until they came out with this bullshit of Kermit just ditching Piggy. No.
Well, they still work together. He didn't completely ditch her.
He broke her heart. That poor, poor, long-suffering Sal. She did not deserve it. She's put up with that goddamn frog shitty bullshit forever. This little asshole sitting on his goddamn log playing his banjo, singing about the fucking rainbows. You little asshole. Get up and love that woman that loves you.
Well, she was pretty horrible to Fozzie Bear last night for no reason whatsoever.
Fozzie deserves it. He told racist jokes on Twitter, I heard.
Well, he probably snapped after his girlfriend's parents were so horrible to him and stereotyping him.
Who's Fozzie's girlfriend?
He had some girl that he was dating. He went to meet the girl's parents and have dinner, and they're there enjoying a nice salmon dinner, and the father is just stereotyping him. He's like, oh, maybe he'd like it better We served it raw right out of the stream. And Bobby just snapped, and he looked at him. He says, "That's an unfair stereotype." And then he had to settle himself, and he just brought the conversation back. Like, is this a white wine sauce you have in the dill? It's very delightful. And he tried to get on track, and he tried to take the parents to meet Miss Piggy because they were huge fans of Miss Piggy. So he wanted to do something nice for the parents,
yeah,
so they would like him for him, and they would get off the whole "my daughter's dating a bear" thing. And then Miss Piggy just looks at Fozzie, and she's like, "You're a worthless piece of fur." Right in front of the parents, and the parents just lost all respect. They're like, "Well, if Miss Piggy doesn't even like him, we're not going to like this bear that's dating our daughter."
Okay, I get it. It's so much racism in the world right now. Bears and pigs, and we all need to get along. You know, we're all pink on the inside, you know? Except, except for some of those fish shoved up those mumpas. Some of them are pink, but, I mean, you know, for the most part, it's pink.
That salmon was probably pink.
I'm going to have to watch that show. I don't want to. I've ranted about it enough, but I need to watch it so I can rant about it more. And we'll start Total Muppets with Sun Guy and Rex. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do, because Total Divas is over after next week. So maybe we'll just review the Muppets instead.
It is the season finale next week.
Speaking of this show, Total Divas this week, as I like to call it, Lo Quiero Mucho. Why don't you hit that music? It's time. It's Total Dialogue time. The portion of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched. We transcribe said scene, and we present it to you, the listener, at no additional cost. This week's scene shall feature Sign Guy portraying Cesaro, and I shall be Natalia Neidhart. End scene.
What's up, Natty? Have you seen TJ?
TJ?
Yeah.
No. Why?
Because I'm looking for him.
Oh, okay. Well, I know he's got you as a screensaver for his phone.
Well, why wouldn't he have? I mean, I'm his tag team partner. That makes sense, right?
That's just weird. Did TJ tell you what he put on his tights? Basically, your face is on the front of them.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. I think you're just jealous because you're not on his tights.
It's just odd. Hey, if I see TJ, I'll tell him that you're looking for him.
I'll find him first anyways.
I'm gonna just walk away. And scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
this was a scene that became a central theme of the entire episode, where Natty was concerned that Cesaro and TJ saw too much of each other, because apparently she wanted TJ to not interact whatsoever with his tag team partner, despite the fact that they were tag team partners and had to work together on a nightly basis. She thought that was really strange. And Cesaro was looking for TJ to talk to him, and then Natty had no idea who TJ was for several seconds. And then instead of giving the location of where TJ was, she was just explaining his screensavers and his tights to Cesaro and trying to weird him out, apparently. But it didn't work. And Cesaro knew, well, I'm going to find TJ first, because I know what TJ looks like, and you will be looking for Jarrett when it's not really TJ. That's what was going through Cesaro's mind.
Well, while we're here, I'm sure you have Natty as your number one. Am I correct?
She is number one on my bottom three.
Well, let's discuss her for a minute. This fucking woman, with her disgusting homophobia, infuriated me, okay? Be a star is what the WWE tries to portray to the public. Then on this goddamn show, they have this woman, this woman, just making homophobic references about two fellas just being two fellas. So these two fellas, they're tag team partners. They're best friends. They're being buds. They're hanging out. They're going to the gym together. They talk with each other. The things fellas do when they're fellas. And she decides to just be a horrible, horrible homophobe about it. And this leads to a plethora of everyone just making all these homophobic jokes about these two. The Be A Star company, these people, Natalya herself has gone to these Be A Star events. And then on the show, she's just a horrible person mocking homosexuals, and in a way that's just disgusting. Because these men are not homosexuals. These men are friends. They hang out. That's what friends do. And then we have Paige calling him T-gay as if some sort of bullying of a homophobic nature is funny in any way. Like, what's funny about this, Paige? You're a homophobe. Natty, you're a homophobe. Bree Bella, you're a fucking racist. You're all garbage. I hated this. So you take us through this Natty shit, because I am literally insane with rage.
Are you going to rage against some machine?
I've raged against the machine every day, brother.
Well, Natty started off, I'm not really sure how she started off. It was just so bizarre. I think what she was trying to do was hit on Trinity, because they were all talking about going to Mexico for no discernible reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And Natty tells Trinity, well, if you're going to go, go slow, because I like the look and watch. And she just...
Yes!
Doing this weird, like, creepy stalker-esque thing to Trinity, and Trinity has no clue what's going on. She's just scared to death.
Now, hold on a second, though. Hold on. This makes me fucking furious, too, because this is Natty doing some faux lesbian bullshit, like, which is offensive in itself. It's making a mockery of these people and their lifestyle. And then she'll turn around and make fun of her husband for being a homosexual. So this fucking lady will do this faux lesbian action and then immediately turn around and crack these homophobic jokes. And this is someone that's supposed to be a star. She's supposed to be some great example for the children, while she's fucking just being a horrible, horrible person, making fun of people and mocking sexuality that's not exactly the same as hers. It makes me livid. But go ahead.
And they get to Mexico.
Yes.
And she reverts back. She reverts back to, you know, the Natty of old, where she's about 12 years old. And
yeah,
it's like she wants to do this photo shoot and send it to all her husbands because she thought that she literally thought that TJ had forgotten that she had breasts. So she thought if she sent him this picture, he would be like, oh, I forgot that he had breasts.
Oh, this photo shoot was amazing.
She recruited Brie Bella, who took the most out-of-focus, like, blurry photos with seaweed and sand and shells covering up most of Natty. And Natty's like, oh, we can Photoshop it, and these are great. You couldn't even tell if it was Natty or if it was Don King. But she thought it was the greatest photo shoot she'd ever been in her life.
Yeah.
She wonders why TJ would rather spend an evening with Cesaro than her.
Yes. So, Natty, her brilliant plan to win back her possibly gay husband, she thinks, is to get unbelievably wasted, then have a bunch of unbelievably wasted idiots take sexy pictures of her, when she thinks is going to make TJ just get these big old boners when he looks at her, and then she's just writhing around in the ocean with no real guidance, just flopping around in the ocean like a whale that's not to say, I'm not using that in terms of her weight, just as like a whale that's unable to get back in the ocean, just like, oh, and there's just seaweed flopping up on her and shells. They look at the pictures and it's so amazing. If there was an art gallery where those pictures were on the wall, I would go every day.
I bet they're up on her wall in Florida.
I bet they're not.
They probably are. But and then that was another thing. She's talking about the house they just bought, and apparently they buy a house like every week, because every week it's like, oh, we bought this new house. Oh, now we have a new house.
No. I think it's that they sold their old house finally. Because remember how they were putting
on the... She's talking about how they decided they wanted to be in a good location. Like, most people would be like, huh, let's move, but let's go to a bad location.
No, I think they moved to their new house for the good location. I think they still were talking about two houses. I don't think there's a third house. I didn't take it as a third house.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could
you
be.
Can never
it could
tell
be.
With Natty because she's
no,
not
no,
bright.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, that was like her big thing. She like telling all the girls in the loudest voice she could muster so they all heard it. We decided this time we'd go to a good location. Like, they were just, like, never going to consider that. Like, I've been living in this ghetto all my life. Never thought of moving to a good location. Natty's a genius. But they just kind of looked at her like, well, why would you move to, like, some slum? And they just kept going. And they went on this tour of some Mayan ruins, apparently. And then Natty, with no tact or, like, gentle breaking of it, she's like, oh, somebody sent a text. Triple H just tweeted the Dusty Rhodes died. And she just, like, blurts it out there.
Yes.
Like, all these
yes.
broads on the bus that have worked with Dusty Rhodes. Some of them actually like Dusty Rhodes, if you weren't a Bella. And Natty just throws it out there. Like, oh, Dusty Rhodes died. I was the first to tell you. I should get
her
a medal for
something. Me, yeah, whatever.
And is she like so focused on she had to be the first one to say something?
Yeah.
She didn't care that she just threw it out there.
And her crying.
Yeah, or like really weird crying. She was perfectly fine for several minutes.
Yes.
And then she did this weird like hysterical crying. So Paige had to put her in, like, the lightest side headlock I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it got really weird. And then, when they get back to the house...
Well, can I interject real quick? She also
She also, in one of her little talking head segments, she called Dusty Rhodes one of the greatest WWE superstars of all time, which
well,
he assuredly is not.
I can see them claiming that because of their the way they cover history, so I could see her saying that. That one didn't bother me too bad.
It bothered me. She should know better. She's from the Hart family. They understand wrestling enough to know that his time in the WWE was, he was never in it, first off. And
yes,
his time in the WWE, well, okay. Okay. He didn't wrestle in the WWE.
Okay.
And his time in the WWF was also not what he wanted anyone ever to think of him for, himself specifically stating that. So, I mean, whatever. It wasn't a big deal, but it just annoyed me a little bit.
Well, then, they're at the house, and Paige is like, well, I'm going to bash TJ to see what Natty does, because I'm sick of her intimating that Cesaro and TJ are having an affair, so I'm going to throw it back at Natty for no reason whatsoever. So Natty's like, oh, yeah? Well, why don't you tell TJ to his face? And then holds out the phone,
mm-hmm.
like the phone is TJ's face. She can't differentiate between someone being face-to-face with you and being on the phone. She didn't understand that concept. She's like, here's TJ's face. It's actually a telephone, but it's actually TJ in person because I think my husband is actually a phone. And they never told TJ exactly what happened. Paige changed the story. Natty never corrected it, so TJ had no idea what was going on. None at all. He's just like, this is a weird call. But
yep.
I like to talk about Cesaro.
Just homophobic jokes left and right.
And he didn't understand that because
they
never told him what Paige actually said.
He's just a fella talking about his friend.
Yeah. And then Natty's like, well, I'll call you in a few minutes. And TJ's thinking, but you're on the phone now. Just why not finish the conversation now? But Natty's like, yeah, I'll call you back and I'll tell you about the picture of me covered in seaweed that may or may not be really me because it's so blurry you can tell. And it was just horrible. Horrible, and she was, like, so proud of herself. Like, I showed Paige. She showed Paige nothing.
No. I hated this episode, honestly. Like, when they showed,
too.
Like, the... Yeah, yeah. They showed the previews last week. I'm like, this episode looks like it's going to be amazing. But I hated it. It was not fun to watch. So, fine, guys. Natty was my number two. Could you possibly in your heart of hearts, guess who my number one is?
Based on your previous comment, was it Brie Bella?
Yes, this fucking racist piece of shit. Yes, it's Brie Bella. She is a racist piece of garbage to go along with everything else that's horrible about her. And I have multiple examples from this episode alone. And, you know, I bet if I went back watching in the veil in my brain that Brie Bella is a horrible racist, that I would get it. So this episode starts off with, all right, it doesn't necessarily start off, but for Brie Bella, it starts with her being furious. She's just furious because her dad unfollowed her on Instagram. The Instagram she was just posting pictures of her nearly naked on. And, hey, perhaps your father doesn't want to see you nearly naked, you clown, you yahoo. And so then she's like, ugh, our dad's so immature. He needs to act like an adult. Brie Bella, the most goddamn immature, unadult-acting human on Earth, said that about someone. Her father. Her father, who just said, you know what, I don't want to look at my daughter's butthole. Unfollow. Unfollow Instagram. No more daughter butthole for me. He's the one member of this family who doesn't want to look at her butthole.
I don't know, because he's always, like, slipping her the tongue.
Well, that's just because he's pilled out. He doesn't realize who it is. when he realizes, he's like, oh, no thanks. But when he shows up, because, you know, you think you're going to show up to a Bella family gathering not pilled out of your mind, sign guy?
Yeah, probably not.
Then this narcissistic garbage can of a wife starts bitching about her father having another child because she finds out on Nikki's Instagram that her father's having another child. So she starts being a jerk about it. She's like, oh, another child? Oh, he was so bad to us. Oh. And then Nikki, she wants to just text her dad, give him her best, tell him congrats, like, good work, Dad, impregnating someone else. Maybe that child won't be the Antichrist like my sister is. Freak gets furious about that. Oh, why are you going to text that guy? Ugh. Like, every adult acts like, right, Rebella? Because you're so much more of an adult than anyone. So that's what starts us off. Do you have any thoughts on that stuff, Sonya? I got a lot to go with Brebella, so we'll take it piece by piece. Let's start there. That scene.
Well, yeah, see, she ranting at the dad and followed her on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And she claims it was because she went to her grandmother's house and she called her dad up, said, yeah, I have absolutely no time to spend whatsoever with you. And then goes on to talk about how her dad's never there for her. I'm like, but you just said, you called the man, said you had not 1 second of time at all to see your dad, who was going to come over to see you at your grandmother's. So obviously if she's at the grandmother's, it's not like she's at a WWE show working or something like that. But she doesn't want the dad to come to the grandmother's because she doesn't have 1 second to spend to him because she's got to be talking mm-hmm. to Brian and FaceTiming with Josie. She doesn't want to see that man. But the fact that he didn't show up there after she told him not to be there infuriates her. How dare he not be at Nana's after I told him not to come to Nana's? It made no sense. She just contradicted herself sentence to sentence. And she, like, angry at Nikki, like, oh, well, now I'm not the baby of the family anymore because this guy's having another child. And that's what she was worried about, not the fact that, hey, this recovering
They're goddamn twins. Neither one. What, she was born 3 minutes later? You're not the baby of the goddamn family, dipshit. You're twins.
And she wasn't worried that, hey, I hope this recovering addict doesn't have any trouble raising this child. She's not thinking,
yeah,
well, my dad's having a baby and I'm not, which she probably, if you would have left her alone for 5 minutes, she would have went completely off about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the one that's supposed to be having the baby. I'm Brie Bella, not some old man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's just horrible, just completely livid about her father for no reason because she kept contradicting herself.
Oh, yeah. She absolutely did. And then, after this, we delve into the racism of this piece of shit, Brie Bella, her racism, because she's a horrible racist. So her sister, Nikki, she wants to explore some of her racial background, some of her, you know, her genetic makeup. Mexico is where some of her family is from, her father, and Nikki's trying to embrace it, and not even embrace it, but just learn about it, which is something that she constantly makes fun of everyone for, is how dumb they are. So her sister is trying to become smarter, learn about her history, learn about her culture, the things that people do as they grow, as they age. They want to learn where they come from. They want to learn who they are. And Nikki wants to engage in this, and Brie just starts making racist jokes about her sister. She starts to, oh, she's exploring her Latina member. And she's just mocking her for wanting to learn. And when Nikki wants to go out into the world of Mexico, see where her ancestors came from, go to these, you know, pyramids and take in these surroundings that were her ancestors, Bree decides, I'd rather explore my alcoholism, stay at the hotel and drink myself into oblivion. And after learning about their father's struggles with addiction in earlier seasons, the weight of that alcoholism of Rebel is starting to not be very funny. I mean, she's clearly an alcoholic. She clearly has struggles with alcohol. And we constantly, it's just a joke, this Bree mode thing, but should it really be a joke, Sign Guy?
No.
She's clearly an alcoholic, right?
Yeah, I think they made that abundantly clear.
So,
and I'd also like to point out, there are no pyramids in Mexico.
Oh, true. Yeah, there's the ruins, the Aztec ruins and such, yes.
Bree Bella called them pyramids, but most assuredly they are not pyramids.
No, uh-uh. There's a lot of fantastic history in Mexico, but pyramids are not one of them.
No. She didn't care that it was not pyramids. She was just like, oh, you want to go see the pyramids? And then Nikki's like, I don't think they're pyramids. I think they're just ruins. She's like, oh, whatever. Who cares? They're just Mexican history.
Yeah, I'm a racist.
All the same.
Now, we have more racism documented from Bree Bella. When she calls the Usos dance the Siva Tao, a warrior dance, and it's just demeaning the entire background of the Usos and their cultural place in the world. Their spot, they fit it. She's like, when they do that warrior dance, and they do their tongues, I'm Bree Bella. I'll make fun of Samoans, I'll make fun of Mexico. I'm the best. She's a piece of shit. How did you think about her discussing the Siva Tao thing?
It kind of weirded me out that she was, like, making obvious references what she wanted to do with Jon Uso right in front of Trinity. And I think Trinity was kind of caught off guard, too. She's like, yeah, that's kind of my husband, and you're married to someone else. And she's like, remote. And, you know,
yes.
It just didn't matter to her.
No. This whole episode was just these broads getting trashed, but not in a funny way. And we discussed briefly the Dusty Rhodes passing away being mentioned. Following all of that, all that ridiculousness, Bree is the one to state that, hey, you guys, we should just continue to get insanely blackout drunk because Dusty would want us to. As if Dusty, who's dead, so he can't care, first off. But even if he were still alive, he would give two shits about what these drunken train wrecks do at any point in their lives. Hey, guys, we should just go, you know, I know this guy that some of you love died, but, you know, he'd want us to go drink 8 bottles of wine. You know, that's what he'd want. What, like, who is she to speak for what he would want? that almost made me the maddest. Her doing that almost made me madder than everything else. But just combined, God, what a horrible person, Sign Guy.
And on top of that, when the tour guide was asking what was going on, she's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, someone we work with died. Kind of like, oh,
yeah.
these broads, and they're crying just over some guy we worked with.
Some guy we worked with. Like a mentor. That fucking guy probably knows who Dusty Damn Rhodes is. Everyone does.
He probably knew Dusty Rhodes. He didn't know who Brie Bella was, which probably infuriated her more.
Any final thoughts on Brie Bella, Sign Guy? Anything you want to bring up?
Yeah. When Nikki was trying to say hello to Brian, because it was just a few episodes ago that Brie was all insistent that the two of them get along, and she was saying how important it was that they got along and they liked each other. So when Nikki's trying to do that, Brie's just constantly just like slapping at her and telling her to shut up and not letting her say anything to Brian. And I'm like, well, how are they supposed to get along if you discourage it every single chance where they could have a civil conversation? And it's not like she was discussing anything important. It's like, did Josie go in the garden? And it, you know, just stupid stuff like that. And Nikki's like, oh, hi, Brian. Shut up. And she just slaps her.
Ugh.
And
so
Nikki was trying to ask about her dress. And she's like, did you even look? She's like, yeah. When she clearly didn't. She was looking in the exact opposite direction. She's like, oh, yeah, I looked.
Do you think Brie is a racist?
It was coming across that way.
Okay, I'm glad. I really thought so, too. But I thought it was just how much I hate her that maybe I was putting that on her. But I thought so.
When she's like, oh, yeah, the pyramids. And then when Nikki tried to correct her, she was just kind of, it's all the same. Nobody cares.
Exactly. And the things she would say about her sister in Mexico, wanting to explore her Mexican heritage. And the things she said about the Ciutau. I don't know. All right, who else did you hate?
Well,
besides everybody.
That's pretty accurate. But I had Brie Bella at number two, so I was pretty close with you there.
Yeah, and I had Natty number two, so it's how we always do it, yeah.
And then I had number three, Paige.
Okay, I was going to put Paige, but I put Alicia I put Foxy first. So, but they're basically, I hate them, and they were very intertwined, the two of them.
Well, Paige this episode, when she got to Mexico, it was the Bella twins there first, and then Paige and Natty showed up, and Paige comes in, she's like, oh, Trinity and Foxy got in a fight on the airplane, and they've been deported back to America, and they were in this brawl, and I tried to break it up. None of this is true. She's just, like, telling him that for no reason. And the Bellas didn't care.
Nope.
They were just like, well, more alcohol for us, that's fine. So he just went through this whole thing for no reason. No reason at all. And she's telling everyone that Mr. Big Speech just last episode about getting the engagement ring. She's like, oh, look at this. And they're like, oh, you're engaged. Oh, I can't believe it. This is shocking. Even though you showed off the ring just last week to everyone. And they made a big deal of it. And then Foxy was trying to be the voice of slightly olderness and make sure that Paige wasn't pressured to accept the ring when she didn't want to get married, because they spent the entire episode last week having Paige explain she didn't want to be married, didn't want to have an engagement ring. But Paige was like, oh no, I want to get married and I want to be engaged. I must have been drunk last week for the entire episode when I said otherwise.
I gotta cut in. This Foxy stuff. When I was watching it, I felt like Foxy was just mad about it all, that she wasn't told prior to Paige telling them all together. So then she just starts talking shit on Paige, telling her she's not ready to get married, telling her, just being rude to her. because she wasn't told first. So that's the way I took it. I didn't feel like she was a voice of a grown person thing. I just felt she was being an asshole because she wasn't told. I didn't feel like it had any sort of friendliness to it. There was nothing about it that was, you know, what you would do if you really wanted to talk to your friend about it. It was just her being an asshole. So I just felt Foxy wasn't being nice there.
I could see it either way, but I think, yeah, she was mad she wasn't told ahead of time. But then I think, like, her making sure that she actually really wanted to get engaged and it wasn't just Kevin from A Day to Remember peer pressuring her into accepting it. I think that was divisive olderness, just, you know, making sure that she didn't do it just to do it because she knows how Paige is and she didn't want Paige to get married just to have something to do that week and then have huge divorce where she lost half her WWE money to some guy she was married to for 6 hours.
Go on. What else about Paige?
Well, it was just really weird. They went to some undisclosed little area in Mexico, and there's, I guess it was like a sidewalk bridal shop or some weird thing. And so they're making Paige just walk around in a veil. They're like, let's just buy a veil and make her walk around like this. And so she's sitting there just pounding beers in this veil that apparently she bought because she wore it on the bus home. And Natty, like, oh, okay, so this person's in charge of this part of your wedding, this person's in charge of this part of your wedding, and Natty's just doing the entire wedding, not up to Paige anymore, and Paige starts thinking about it, and she's like, huh, I don't really want to have a wedding at all. Just wanted the veil. Didn't really want the wedding. Not really a big fan of that guy, whatever his name is. I'll think of it when I sober up a little bit. And so she pulls Foxy aside, and she's like, oh, yeah, I lied earlier when I said I wanted to get married. I really don't.
Nope.
So she wasted this episode, too. The whole episode,
yep.
Her telling everyone she ready to be engaged, looking forward to getting married, has the ring, has the veil. And now she's back to the, yeah, I didn't really want it.
And, of course, has to make herself the center of attention to us all. When it comes to wedding stuff, Brie Bella is like, oh, we can do this, and we can do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, because Brie Bella can't let someone have a moment of their own because she's such a narcissist. She decides to start taking over, and then that's what Paige is like. Oh, I don't want to get married because fucking Brie Bella will be involved somehow. So.
The biggest thing, and I don't know if you caught it or not, Brie's like, oh, well, I want you to have it in England because I just want to go to Europe again and get drunk.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I know it's your wedding and it's like the most important day of your life, but
I want
to go to Europe.
Your hometown. Yeah. Yeah. Your hometown. How about there? Who are you, Brie Bella? God damn it. Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So you hate it. Okay, we've gotten through the ones we hated mostly. The only last thing I had, you know, Foxy was my number three. And the only other thing was this creep, this little creepy Foxy, just recording Naomi's butt when she's dancing. This little creep just doing the butt and then posting it up on Instagram just for fun. What a creep. That's all.
Yeah.
And you know what?
She
not all.
Up her face.
Yeah. It's not all. This fucking asshole then said, oh, well, if you don't want to be photographed, don't do the dance. Listen, you piece of shit. People are allowed to do what they want. That would be like if people were having sex in their home and she's just like peeping in through the windows, filming it. And she's like, oh, you don't want to be on there? Don't have sex. It's the same thing as the whole, like, the fappening, where these people's phones were hacked and all these pictures they had taken and sent to their loved ones were then put on the internet for these geeks to fucking take and enjoy. These private moments that people have are now being recorded by goddamn everyone and stolen by everyone and posted up by everyone. And then the people who are enjoying their lives, enjoying their time, are then the victims are then the ones at fault. Not the people that are doing this shit. Not the people that are taking the video, posting it up as some sort of joke. The ones at fault now are the victims. It's no longer the people who are actually involved. When Foxy tried to blame Naomi, who's standing there having fun with her friends, for being at fault for this video she posted up on the goddamn internet, that pissed me off. I'm sorry. That pissed me off.
I wonder if she said that to Hulk Hogan.
Well, it's true for Hogan. It's true for all these people. I mean, as much as Hogan is dumb and wrong, and what he was saying and doing was stupid, he was illegally recorded the other day. I mean, it's not illegal. It's stupid. It's the same bullshit. People are allowed to make mistakes. And when we're just filming away, taking pictures away, everyone's on their goddamn phones. Like, I was watching pictures, like, videos of haunted houses earlier. I know that sounds stupid, but it gets to my point. Every single person in the video had their phone out filming what they were going through, not experiencing it themselves and enjoying it and having fun. Every single goddamn person had their phone out. What is wrong with people? I don't know. We're getting into a different rant here, but go ahead, Slang Guy.
Well, are we going into who we like then?
Yeah. For me, there was only two.
I managed to get three, but it was very difficult, and I had to take a lot of liberties with it. Now,
go for it.
Number three, I had Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Now, he wasn't technically in it, I guess, but they had the video package, you know, when the ones that cared were explaining what he meant to them and how he had helped them, and they had the video package of him from the NWA and the WWF, WWE days. A nice video package, I thought, and it was nice for a couple of them to pay tribute and acknowledge that he actually helped them and
definitely,
they would have been where they are in the company if he hadn't stood up for them and refused to let them just get thrown out there with really stupid stuff. So obviously didn't help everyone, but you know, a couple of the people he helped really paid a pretty good tribute to him. So I had Dusty at number three, even though it's taken a bit of a liberty.
I'm fine with it. For me, the only two people I liked in this episode were TJ and Cesaro. I felt the friendship between these two men was beautiful. Just two wonderful, amazing men staying true to each other and who they are. Not allowing the world's expectations of how they feel two men should interact to find who they are. I thought that was awesome. Natty's so jealous of their friendship. These two men who are just staying true, being who they are, having a great friendship. And too often men are forced to, you know, when men are often friendly with each other, homophobic jokes get tossed out. People mock them and deride them, and it's like, if two women were having the same sort of friendship, there wouldn't even be a word said about it. It's just expected. When two fellas have this close kind of friendship, the world often will look at them negatively. And I know, like, I had a great friend most of my life. I spent
most of my time with him. We talked on the phone all the time. And then, you know, they'd be like, oh, your boyfriend, you're this and that. You know, my own father at one point thought I was gay. I'm like, no. Like, why would you think that? Yeah, I don't know. You just surround him a lot. Like, we're friends. That's, I don't understand. People can be friends without being sexually interested in each other. That's allowed in this world. And the idea that these two men were the subject of this derives from these people, this horrible bullying tactics, just was disgusting. And I just like that they didn't care about it. It did not bother them in the least bit. They're who they are. They stay true to it. They don't need cake because they're in shape. Bam.
Yeah, I had TJ at number two.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly it was because when Natty called him, he just went along with it. He probably knew there was something weird going on. He's probably like,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
he knew.
Fast. But
the stuff he was saying was to get them to say their wacky jokes. So it was totally bullshit, you know, like, oh, he cleaning jerks 180 pounds. Like, and then they all laugh. Oh, he jerks it. Oh.
That wasn't even his max.
Right. But go ahead. But go ahead.
TJ emphasized that. He's like, that's not even his max. I don't even know what he could really do if he was serious. So TJ's just like putting over Cesaro, and he knows these broads are trashed and are probably like bad mouthing him, and Natty's probably like grinding on him naked right now as she's speaking to him. But he went along with it, and he's like, well, let me tell you about Cesaro because I like him. And he's just putting over Cesaro. He's like, yeah, best tag team partner I ever had. And Natty's kind of like, but we teamed up together. And then it dawns on her. She's like, he thinks Cesaro's better than I am. And she got a little bit mad, but TJ didn't care. He's like, best partner I ever had. Harry Smith would probably watch the episode. And he's like, hey, what about me? We were the Stampede Bulldogs Pinnacle. And TJ's like, yep, still Cesaro. He's still better.
Definitely
Christopher
Isaac's
probably like, but we teamed up once in Pinnacle, and TJ's like, sorry, still Cesaro.
Did he team up with Evan Bourne for a while? I feel like he did.
I think they did a little bit. Justin Gabriel and he were a tag team for a while.
Oh, yeah, they definitely were, yeah. And NXT especially.
Yes. Yeah, Cesaro's still better.
Absolutely he is.
Somewhere PJ Black's just livid, just like, how dare he?
You know what? I don't think they ever were a tag team, Tyson Kidd and Evan Bourne. I think they worked each other a bunch. But I just see the WWE in mid-2014 was going to make them a tag team. That seems really late for Evan Bourne's career.
Well, they probably teamed off and on a little bit. They probably had matches where they tag teamed, like on house shows or something.
All right, who else did you like? Get your last one. Let's hear it.
My number one was Daniel Bryan.
Tell me about him.
He was never seen this episode, but he was on the phone with Bree, and Bree's going on and on about her dad. So Daniel Bryan, being the voice of familial leadership, was saying, well, you never know when someone's just not going to be there anymore, so you should just let it go. And
let it go.
Exactly. And he's...
let it go.
Yes,
sing
we covered that. And
sing it, Sun Guy.
You want me to sing why I think he's number one?
No, sing Let It Go. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Your turn.
That was really weird. That was Bella thinking the pyramids are in Mexico weird.
You don't know Let It Go. Everyone knows Let It Go.
No.
A snow falls white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. Take it, same guy. Just sing what you think the next lyric is. Here, I'll sing this first line, and you sing what you think the next line is.
Alright.
Snow falls white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. Go.
Josie went in the garden. I hope your dad will talk to you.
That was the best part of the night. That was the best part by far. Let's do the next line. Okay. The wind is swirling like a... Wait. The wind is howling like a swirling storm inside. Go.
I hope you forget my number, because I hate your drunken rants.
Oh, this makes me happy. Let's just do this all night. What else about this show? Anything? I hated it so much.
Well, yeah, because they went reverting back after months to the whole John is paranoid of his wife's wardrobe thing. And they had already moved past it. They'd had their two-minute talk, and they moved past it. And it wasn't an issue. And then they're watching in the match, and Emma's like, oh, her outfit's so cute. And then John's like, Everyone wants my wife. Everyone sees her. And she's not saving any of that for me. And she should be dressed from head to toe, completely covered, every square inch of her, unless she's in my company. Because apparently John is like an extreme Muslim.
Like, yeah, put your burqa on.
Yeah, and he wants her completely covered, and he's just livid. And so Naomi's like, well, I don't want to make him mad, so I guess I should cover everything up completely, which was stupid because they settled this months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained she had to dress, you know, according to what the job was. She couldn't just go out there in a burqa completely covered because that's not what WWE expected of her, and that's who was paying
yep.
her. And
oh, yeah.
They got past it, and then John just reversed back, and it made no sense.
Nope, and it did not.
That's why she was so mad at Foxy. She's like, my husband will see this, and he'll get mad. What was he going to do, come to Mexico and just drag her back by the hair? I don't know when John became like this Muslim fundamentalist
yeah.
that wants his wife completely covered and he'll dominate her and she has to ask permission for every little thing she does, which
mm-hmm.
apparently she didn't because she went to Mexico and he didn't say anything about that and he knows what the other broads do. He's well aware of Paige and Foxy being a regular at the loud table, but it made no sense, but they went with that. And then at the end, because John was so furious that she was dressing scantily, he thought, Nanny made her wear this skimpy little bikini and come running out and take more pictures that she could post online. And then Natty just was like, let's all just jump in the pool for no reason. And all this paw at you guys and make you uncomfortable. And they're like, that's a great idea, Natty. And so they did that, which made no sense at all.
Nope,
whatsoever.
It did not. Ugh. Hated this episode. Just the constant homophobia and racism was just gross to me. I didn't... Every episode I usually enjoy to some extent, even if it's really bad. But this one just, I couldn't enjoy it. I don't know. How about you?
No, extremely painful, and it started off extremely painful because the very first scene was Nikki with a Spanish tutor trying to learn the most fundamental of Spanish. And if I'm not mistaken, in a previous episode, she said she spoke moderate Spanish.
Well, I think she spoke moderate, but she wanted to learn more, you know, so she got a tutor to help teach her more, perhaps.
But she was wanting him to teach her, like, stuff that a three-year-old in any Spanish-speaking country would say.
Most of it was
struggled with it.
Yeah, and most of it was just about fucking John Cena. That's all she seemingly wanted to learn.
Well, she said that. She said that all she wanted to do was learn how to talk dirty to Cena.
Yep.
But she's like, Joe Tango, and she's like, just the most basic two-word sentences that she should have learned in high school if she was not bilingual whatsoever, but she was raised in a bilingual family, apparently, and she had to hire a tutor in her 30s to teach her. It absolutely made no sense whatsoever at all.
Nope.
And that poor tutor, that poor man, he just did not know what he was in for. He was like, extra few dollars. Sure, I'll go and teach this broad an hour a day. Clearly, he regrets that decision.
Yeah, of course he does. Well, let's wrap this up. I've had enough. I've been drinking the foul punch. What you got
nice
going?
Tiki punch.
No, this is all, this is just apple cider and booze, so.
That's not really a punch.
It's a punch. Hey, man, it's a punch. A punch is when you mix two or more ingredients together. I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a punch.
I don't know. Can we get the Hawaiian punch mascot Punchy to weigh in on this subject?
Well, what I'm learning, first off, is it's a term for, okay, here's the Wikipedia. It's a term for a wide assortment of drinks, both non-alcoholic and alcoholic, generally containing fruit. Boom, nailed it, apple cider. Well, let's find out here. The word punch comes from the Sanskrit, meaning five, as it was originally made with five ingredients. But guess what these five ingredients are, fine guy?
Fruit.
Yes.
Water.
Two. You got two.
Sugar.
Three.
Yeah, I'm stuck at three.
Alcohol and spices. Boom. I nailed it. I got all five in that. Boom. It's got alcohol. Check. It's got sugar. Check. It's got water. Check. It's got fruit. Check. And it's got all them sweet spices from the spiced rum. Boom. That's a legit punch, brother.
All right.
You just got punched.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got going on? What's the scuttlebutt?
Well, no, scuttlebutt was earlier.
True. But what's the haps?
Well, Friday on Sign Guys Wrestling Show, we have Sean Carr out of the great state of New York, Super 8 competitor in this year's tournament. Usually see him featured in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, fine up-and-coming competitor, actually worked with Roddy Piper shortly before Piper's death.
Okay, excellent.
And Saturday, Piper Palooza down in Tacoma, Washington, co-promoted event, NWA Blue Collar, teaming up with HPG Pro, so there will be both professional wrestling-style matches as well as HPG Pro-style matches on the same show.
Excellent. And have you confirmed if Colt Toombs will be appearing?
I don't know if the Toombs family will be there or not, honestly. There's a chance they will be, but I don't have that confirmed.
Excellent. What else you got going on?
Well, Sunday on Turnbuckle, it's Big Man Day. All big men in wrestling, so think large individuals.
Yes.
Scheduled so far for that. Tentatively scheduled if he can get off his movie set from filming a movie with John or James Franco. Buddy Highway will be on. Mini Beast, favorite sports entertainer. Stompin' Steve scheduled to be on. And Chris Hall from the state of Ohio. Rockstar Pro competitor.
Oh, excellent. I've been trying to talk to Rockstar Pro about us going over there and playing one of their shows. So maybe you could toss out a word while you got them.
Possibly. Did you know that Kevin Sullivan's favorite independent promotion is Rockstar Pro?
Really?
Yes.
Well, GG that runs it, he needs to answer my messages. So GG, if you're listening, hit me up, brother. Anything else happening?
The filming of the 200th episode of The Sign of the Times.
Yes, the most important thing in all our lives.
Yes. Can you confirm or deny that episode 199 was one of your top three favorite episodes of all time of anything you've ever seen?
Yes.
I thought so. Was it because of the bars on the windows? Did that seal it?
Yes.
I thought so.
All right. Well, I think that about does it. Until next time, don't be a racist or a homophobe. Listen to Total Dudes with Side Guy and Rex. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Side Guy and Rex.